jokingly saying that briefly, because I know our pastors, we struggle to be brief. But share with you just from Ezekiel 47. While you're turning there, just give you some background. The last few months, we had many questions, many internal examination, a lot of just sitting there, spending time with the Lord, just allowing the Lord just to shine His light upon us. And you know what? In many ways, you ask yourself a lot of questions. You ask yourself, are we effective here? Are we getting this right? Are we mentoring correct? Are we discipling correct? And it's question upon question. And in a way, you realize, you know, you miss the mark in so many places. You just don't find the right solution always. And in many ways, we got a lot of things right, but a lot of things we also got wrong. And so it's important for us to be honest with ourselves, to be honest with God in order to grow. So I believe that's such an important aspect. And that we're not in denial. And anyway, so what happened, we've been going through that. And then this year, in July, when we had our fast, that was for me personally such a good time with the Lord, because the Lord just started opening up a lot of stuff. And God spoke to us as a congregation about a lot of beautiful stuff. And I remember one day, specifically in the middle of the fast, one morning I had an intense desire just to be alone with the Lord. And I did as Jesus did, withdraw into the desert. And that's what the Bible said. And I literally got into my car and I drove up into the Swakop River just alone and literally just crying out before God and said, God, I miss the mark. I think I missed the mark. I fail you. There's so many places that we're supposed to grow and what we're supposed to be, but God, I miss you. I think I just don't know how. And you know what? In times when you feel, when you get to that place where you sometimes feel, God, I miss it, that God is so graciously and gracious. And I remember I sat there and God said, then just open your Bible and I want to speak to you. And that place of utter despair and utter brokenness and utter need of Him, God started ministering and God started giving me some beautiful promises. And He lifted up my spirit above that and say, you know what, it's great. I understand you see that as well. I see that, but it's fine. I'm not going to leave you there. And He started giving us beautiful promises, you know. And then I came back and one night at the intercession while we were praying here during that time, one of the guys got up, Marius got up, and he shared on the river of God, which God spoke to me as well. And I remember when I came here 7 years ago, Carol and them, a lot of people shared about the river of life, the river that's coming, Swakop River community. So this whole thing about the river has been has been coming for a long time, and I sense in my spirit that God is saying, we're starting to see the trickling of the first drops of that, you know, because I do not believe that we've even seen half of that or even the beginning of that. It's just signs of that, you know. This time of the year, as we start watching out or looking at the weather forecast, you look out, watch that with an hope and an expectation. When is the rain coming? And the sign, sometimes, especially, I know we don't know what's rain when we live here. I think that's the part of it which we miss. But when we, in the other side of the country, I want to say, you smell the rain and there's something in the wind and there's something. And I believe God is about to say something to us about the river that is coming, you know. And therefore, I'm not having up notes up there. So I do not want us to listen with the intellect, but rather to listen with your spirit this morning, because it's a blueprint, Ezekiel 47, about the Spirit of God, about the river of God that's calling us to that deeper place this morning. And it might be different for all of us where God is calling you into that place where there's an abundance. In Ezekiel 47, he talks about the promises of God, this whole river, and about the place of restoration and a place of healing and a place of God coming to do a lot for us. Ezekiel 47, if you cut your Bible here, before we go there, maybe I should just remind you again of that the announcements you saw, the marriage course that we're about to do from the 25th of October, or other one which we didn't mention up there is Live Before You Die. That's a course that we're running also in our cell groups, young working or young people, to help you find the purpose of God and calling upon your life and to walk into that marriage. And then also we're doing the intercession. So there's three of them running now. Well, the intercession one actually already started, but if you missed out once, you can still jump in on this Tuesday morning, 5:30 at church, where we're running that intercession course. believe you me, you would definitely miss out if you're not there. So make sure it's really good material we're working through. And then so the same with the other two courses. If you're not part of a small group yet, I want to encourage you to join us over this time. And even if you feel that you just want to be part of that for 6 weeks, you're welcome. From next week, we'll be in Cape Town for our yearly conference. So pray for us. There's a couple of people that's going with us, JP, Marlies, and a few others, and the youth. And so next week, just while you are ministering or worshiping here, we'll be worshiping there. And just trust the Lord over this weekend that God will just continue to minister to us, and that the whole anointing or what God wants to do is going to flow out from that place. Ezekiel 47, we haven't got a lot of time left, so allow me to run through the scripture quickly. And I just want to give you some principles regarding the prophecy of God or the river. Most probably I'll be sharing more about the encounters, what we are about to do with the encounters of God. Sometimes, and I'll share that maybe when I'm back here, how to react upon the encounters, encounters of God upon our lives, specifically before, during, and after. But leave that for another time. Ezekiel 47, and it starts in my vision, verse 1. The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. There I saw a stream flowing east from beneath the door of the temple and passing to the right of the altar on its south side. The man brought me outside the wall through the north gateway and led me around to the eastern entrance. There I could see the water flowing out through the south side of the east gateway. Measuring as he went, he took me along the stream for 1,750 feet and then led me across. The water was up to my ankles. He measured off another 1,750 feet, I think it's about 500 meters, and led me across again. This time the water was up to my knees, another 1,750 feet, it was up to my waist. Then he measured another 1,750 feet, and the river was too deep to walk across. It was deep enough to swim in, but too deep to walk through. He asked me, "Have you been watching, son of man?" Then he led me back along the river bank. And when I returned, I was surprised by the sight of the many trees growing on both sides of the river. And then he said to me, "This river flows east through the desert into the valley of the Dead Sea. The waters of this stream will make the salty waters of the Dead Sea fresh and pure. There will be swarms of living things wherever the water of this river flows. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea, for its waters will become fresh. Life will flourish wherever this water flows. Fishermen will stand along the shores of the Dead Sea, all the way from Engedi to Engleim. The shores will be covered with nets drying in the sun. Fish of every kind will fill the Dead Sea, just as they will fill the Mediterranean. But the marshes and swamps will not be purified. They will still be salty. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow along both sides of the river. The leaves of these trees will never turn brown and fall, and there will always be fruit on their branches. There will be a new crop every month, for they are watered by the river flowing from the temple. The fruit will be for food and the leaves for healing." I praise God for such a beautiful piece of scripture that's not just talking about the days where that's coming now, but also talking about where we're going, you know, in many ways, where there's an abundance of God's presence, where there's the leaves will never turn brown, where there's, we're always green, where there's sufficient water, where there's a freshness. But God is also giving that to us this morning, maybe wherever you find yourself. And I want you to notice that in the scripture, first of all, before we depart further, I want you to notice that verse 1 says, the man brought me to the entrance of the temple. Verse 2, the man brought me outside through the wall. Verse 3, measuring as he went, he took me. Then led me. He measured off. Verse 4, led me. And then verse 6, have you been watching? So it carries on and on. Every time I noticed something specifically, the order of this, that he led me, that he measured it off, that he took me to that place. And it brings me to this hope this morning that I'm just declaring and reminding myself this morning that the reason I'm standing here this morning, the reason you're sitting here, the reason you are able to proclaim the goodness of God, the reason you're able to stand here and say, I know him, is because he knew us first. He loved us first. He was the first one that initiated. He's the one that made that first step. And because of that, I can stand here this morning knowing that he will not leave me, that he will finish what he started. I want to encourage you this morning that Jesus is still in control of your life. Jesus has still got a plan. Jesus hasn't finished, that He's still searching for you. He's still searching for the lost. He's still walking out there trying to find those that are lost, trying to find those that are in despair, trying to find those that are in brokenness, trying to find those that are still hopeless. He measured me. He led me. Don't give up hope. Christ is still free spirit, busy walking amongst this earth, ready to send water through your life, through my life, to give us hope this morning. You see, it starts with an invitation. It doesn't start with an intention. I speak to people, and most probably when we get to January next year, a lot of people, and ourselves including, we're going to share a lot of intentions. This year I'm going to stop smoking. This year I'm going to lose so much weight. This year I'm going to start reading my Bible more. This year I'm going to stop this. This year I'm going to start that. And so we can carry on and on. But intention never outlasts invitation, because Christ is the one that's inviting us to the party. Christ is the one that's saying, come to that place. Come deeper, because I'm giving you grace to get to that place. You see, intention is birthed from a place of guilt, in a way. I feel guilty about myself. I feel guilty about my life. I want to become a better person. So now I'm intending to become, and I'm a better person. I want to grow to that place that I'm pleasing to God. While God is saying, come higher, come deeper, come to me. There's a reverse of order. See, the invitation starts with God. The intention starts with me. And anything that starts with me, I found that it doesn't last. Because somewhere along the line, I grow weary. I grow to a place that it's almost, want to say, boring something. And I have to give over and say, God, you need to do this work in me, because my flesh is fighting. God says, come deeper. Isaiah 43, listen to this. Isaiah 43 verse 1, I guess. Yeah, no, sorry. What, 43? 51. Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Listen to this. Even if you have no money, that's the place where the Bible is inviting us to. Even if you have no money, we can't think, it doesn't make sense to us, because everything in this world, you have to pay for something. Whenever you want something, you need to give something. But here God says it's free. The invitation is going out freely to every one of us. Come, take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Christ is inviting you and me this morning into that river, into that place of abundance, into that place of cleansing. And if you sit here this morning under my voice, if you sit here under this roof, if you're just silent for a moment, you'll hear His voice calling you to come deeper. It's not me standing here, it's just Christ calling you, come deeper. There's more. You've not seen the fullness of me yet. Maybe you sit here this morning, your marriage is in such a place that you do not have hope. Why don't you respond to that invitation this morning? Say, God, I hear your voice. I know you can take us deeper. I know you can take us back to that place where we were first. Maybe you sit here in terms of relationships that's been damaged, and you need to trust God this morning that He would take you to that place of healing, that He would take you to that place of forgiveness. There's somebody, specifically a guy here this morning, and God is talking to you about forgiveness, and you need to go back for restoration. But the only way our restoration can start, if you say, sorry, I'm sorry, forgive me. God wants to do that work. And I don't know who it is this morning, but it starts with us making that first step. See, what I discovered in that place, and even before as well, when I was back there in the desert, the moment I become honest with myself and with God, there's hope for me. The moment you and I become transparent and honest with God about ourselves, God can work. But I think we have too many okay people in the church. And I'm talking to myself. Are you okay? Yes, I'm okay. No, you're not okay. We all actually need Christ. And the longer I walk with Christ, and hopefully I become more biblical, and I look at Paul and I look at all these men that before me, they were walking there, and that's just such an inspiration. But here's the thing which I discovered in Paul's life, and I'm starting to experience that more and more. Paul grew from a place of the least of the apostles to the chief of all sinners. That's how we saw him. And the longer I walk, the longer I realize, God, I miss this. God, I miss this. I need you. I need you more and more. And even when you, I don't want to say accomplish something, you realize, but this is not me. because God allows ourselves to see ourselves without Him. And then you realize, man, I'm lost without Him. My best abilities, my best intentions are like filthy rags. Whatever I place on the table, and God is actually calling us to bring the fish and bread to the table, but that's not enough. There's often days that I feel, God, the words that I've got and the sermon that I've got is not sufficient to feed this people, Lord. And God would just come, and God would multiply, and God would do things, and I just stand there in awe and say, God, okay, that's You that fed them. It wasn't me, but we still have to bring our fish and bread to the table. And God is inviting you and me to that place that we realize that we need Him. But it starts with a place of transparency and a place of brokenness. God, I need You. I hear Your voice. I'm going to be transparent. I want to encourage you. I cannot force you this morning. The sooner you become transparent, the sooner you become honest, the sooner we become aware of the presence of God's life, or God's hand upon our lives, and we're honest with ourselves, just in need of a Savior, just in need of somebody to touch me in this area, the sooner God can start moving. Because God can't unless we start be honest with ourselves and Him. The man brought me outside the wall. And then verse 6, listen to this. He asked me, have you been watching, son of man? Then he led me back along the riverbank. Now what happened here? He walks him through, the man. Christ walks him through this river, and He shows him the river. And then he goes deeper and deeper and deeper up to the place in verse 5 that he could not stand anymore. And He took him to a place where he had to swim. Which to me speaks to us, to me this morning, of a place of utter dependence upon God. You know, walking is what we normally do. It's an everyday thing. We don't think about it. You don't think about walking out of here because we just assume we can walk. This is where we rely upon our own strength, and we almost want to say programmed, trained, like that. But when we swim, it's a next skill. It's a different skill. It's something where we have to rely upon something else. We have to give over control in a way. And God wants to bring us to that place in Him that we give over completely, where there's not control. Some of us are so in control of our lives that God cannot move in those areas. And the promises of God cannot flow because we're so in control, and we do not want to give over control because we do not feel comfortable. Because, Lord, if I can predict this and if I can do this and everything, then I'll feel content. And God says, it's time to swim. There are many of us sitting here this morning that God has called you to swim already a long time ago, but you're still walking. You're still walking at certain places, and God is calling you to step out in faith. But God calls us to that place in verse 6 that says, Son of Man, and I want you to put your own name in there. Look at that. He pictures that hole, and he gives him that vision, and he sees that, and then he says, look at that. Why does he take him to that place and ask him to look at that? I believe it's a moment of contemplation. For every invite of God to come up higher, to swim deeper, God brings us to that place of contemplation. Allow me just to stand there for a moment. And you stand there and say, God, this is high. Now I have to make a decision whether I'm going to climb higher. Oh, no, I'm scared of heights, Lord. Let me just get off. And I'll just be in my safe zone. And I'll continue to walk. And I'll just continue to talk about the river. And we'll talk about the river, and we'll come to that in a moment. But there's a moment of contemplation for every invite to go deeper. There's a price to pay, my friend. A couple of weeks ago, I was reminded of a word that I received, I think, more than 2 years ago. I placed it aside. I didn't believe it was for a specific season, and God didn't forget about the word. I almost forgot about it. I buried it somewhere. I've got all those things somewhere, and God said, you need to go back to that. And you study that, and you read that through, and I had to go through that, literally contemplating about every word that's being said, and the price that I'm supposed to pay for that. But here's the thing. You cannot get higher without paying the price. Whether it's your time, whether it's your energy, whether it's something more of you, there's a price that each one of us need to find out from God what we need to do. It doesn't come without a price. Moses had to leave Ur. He could have stayed there. The price was to leave Ur. Oh, sorry, not Moses, sorry, Abram. Moses had to leave the desert. the comfort with the animals, wherever he had to leave Egypt, the riches of Egypt. The Bible talks about the Hebrews that he was looking forward to his heavenly reward, not seeking the riches of Egypt. Christ says, come, follow me. If you want to follow me, take up your cross, deny yourself. And so we can carry on. There's always something that you have to give up in order to get up. See, the baggage of this world is just so heavy hanging upon us, and you and I do not even know about that baggage that we're carrying in life. Right now, at this given time, I'm actually carrying baggage. And at any certain time, God will come and he will call me up higher. I spoke to somebody in the first service, and the person shared with me that she went through a difficult situation 2 years ago, and she thought she was healed until this morning, and God's starting to open up that stuff that happened as a result of what she's going through right now. And he's busy healing those old scars, but she didn't know that she still had that. But God is calling us up to that place of coming up higher, but there's baggage. You need to let go of that in order to get higher. What's the price that you need to pay? What's the price that I need to pay? Contemplate upon that. Son of man, do you see that? That's a moment when the willing spirit is separated from the unwilling spirit. I believe it that every person that's got a promise this morning has seen it being fulfilled in our lives, and it's not necessarily God's fault. I believe sometimes we contemplate, we look at the price, and then we do mathematics, and then wherever our heart is, we go in that direction. Luke 9, verse 3. Look at this. Jesus instructs his disciples. He says, take nothing for your journey, he instructed them. Don't take a walking stick, a traveler's bag, food, money, or even a change of clothes. Man, that is tough. Other day, you know, our culture is different. And I can just speak for myself, you know. The guy that's working in our farm there, he had to go up to the north, and he had to sort out his family problems. So he said, can he get 2-3 days off? I asked my brother and said, yes, he can go. And so he left the farm like this. He's going up to the north now. And I'm standing there, you're going up to the north for 3-4 days. You've got no sleeping bag. You've got no bag of clothes. You've got no toothbrush. You've got nothing. And you're going up to the north. And I'm like, God, just so content and so easy. Huh? You guys smile, huh? You know, it's different in cultures. But here's the thing. This scripture is talking to us this morning about the weights of this world, about all the things that so often getting our attention. And he says, leave those things behind. And not literally, maybe it's easier for other cultures, but he's speaking to us this morning about whenever God is calling us to that place of depth in him, immediately there's another cry, but you didn't think about that. And then we start reasoning with God, but what about this, Lord Jesus? In order to gain this, Lord, can I just bring this with me as well? And God says, leave it behind. We live in the kingdom of opposites, my friend. If you want to have this morning, guess what? Give away. It doesn't make sense, but it works. If you want your life, give it up. Cannot come to Christ without giving up something. We live in the kingdom of opposites. Come up higher. And every time we get to that place, God tests us. That moment when we stand there and there's a moment of contemplation, it's also a test for us. Whatever is more important to us, we'll choose that. You know what? I don't know how many times I've missed that. Not missed that, but ignored it. Maybe that's a better word. I just ignored him flatly. Come deeper. Come deeper. I want to spend time with you. I know, Lord, but it's not convenient now. I just first have to. And you can fill in the dots. What's your first? Lord, I just let me first. I mean, that pattern is so evident in the Bible when Jesus calls these people. Oh, Lord, let me first bury my... And it's important why he mentioned those specific examples, because it's relational. You know, I'm not saying say goodbye to your... Okay, let's stop there. I'm just saying... The word is so challenging when we go deeper. There's a price to pay. Verse 8, almost done. See, we need the awareness of God's presence. If I can give you those points. An awareness of his presence in our lives. His voice going out, His invitation going out. Come deeper. Then there needs to be a moment of contemplation. In other words, a place of willingness. God invites, and then He brings us to a place of willingness. Are you willing to do what it takes? And as I said earlier, it separates the willing from the unwilling. Verse 8. Then He said to me, this river flows east through the desert into the valley of the Dead Sea. The waters of the stream will make the salty waters of the Dead Sea fresh and pure. There will be swarms of living things wherever the water of this river flows. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea, for its waters will become fresh. Life will flourish wherever this water flows. Now, I've been in meetings, I've been among people, and most probably I've done it myself as well, talking about the beauty of the river, talking about the abundance of fish, talking about the clarity of the water, talking about the beauty of the trees. But I only made one mistake there, standing on the side of the river. See, it's possible this morning to sit here, be a good Christian, go through life and talk about the river. And then there's the other scenario. You can talk about the river, or you can know the river. See, it takes courage, it takes braveness, and that's my last point, or faith. It's rhyming, that's why I chose that. To step out, to contemplate, and to step out and say, Lord, I'm going to step into the river, into the fullness of where You're calling me. For some of us, maybe you know God as, you hear others talk about God as your healer, and you can believe that, but it's different when you know Him as your healer. Some of us can sit here, and you heard a lot about God as the provider, and you believe that God is the provider, because that's what the Bible says, and you don't question that. Until you've walked and you stepped into that river and you experience God is my provider. See, this is the difference. It moves from God is the provider to a place that God is my provider, my healer. Some of us, we can talk about the protection of God until you face death. Then you start singing a different song. God is my protection, my healer. And so we can carry on. God invites us this morning into that place to step into the river. I cannot talk about that if I haven't experienced it myself. And like last week, Andre was sharing, if you don't have a story, for now it's okay. Tell somebody else's story. Tell about what God has done for Susanna. But only Susanna will know that God is my healer. Unless you and I have gone through something similar. God wants to take us to that place in the river where He's sufficient. Leave behind. Give up. Follow me. Come deeper. Come up higher. If you sit here this morning, you will hear His voice echo into your spirit. Come deeper. Let's close our eyes. Thank you, Jesus. Every eye closed. I just want to give the Lord an opportunity to finish what He started, because I believe there's a couple of people we still want to pray for. There's a call for an abundant life that God wants to give you. God wants to touch specific areas. There are three young men that God wants to give you a fearless, relentless spirit. Almost like the three friends of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three young men. I don't know where you are. I want you to get up quickly where you are. Just come and stand here. God is speaking to you. That braveness that you want in the spirit. Wherever you are, I'm waiting for you before I'm calling out to other people. Three young men specifically that God is calling you this morning. You want such in spirit. Say, God, I want that fearless, relentless spirit in you. Thank you, Jesus. The invite is going out. I'm going to wait for a moment and I'm going to carry on. It's up to you whether you respond to that. Jesus, we thank You. I believe God's grace is there whenever the invitation goes out to take us up to that higher level. But it's up to us to respond. Three young men this morning, I'm waiting for you. I want to pray for you, want to lay hands upon you. will be unrelentless in this kingdom, fearless, focused, determined for God's kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody here this morning, you're struggling to hear the voice of the Lord. Sorry. I want to pray with you. Wherever you are, I want you to leave your seat. And somebody here this morning, you had specifically something in your hand, and you do not know how to use that for God's purpose. And God wants to send this river just to cleanse that again for His purpose. There's somebody specifically in relation to arts, that you're very arty. Somebody spoke words of death over that, and God just wants to open that up again for His kingdom. He wants to send His river through that. Thank you, Jesus. And then there's one more before we pray. While I was praying, I saw the back here from the shoulders to the back on my right, experiencing pain, maybe from your neck. I'm going to pray for you as well. Wherever you are, if you are here in the crowd this morning, if any of you there, I want to pray with you before we close the service in a minute or two. I want you to respond quickly while every eye is closed. Let's just quickly come to the front, and then we're going to end the service this morning. Thank you, Lord.